This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, and I'm speaking with Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Well, the new record is called Black Gives Way to Blue, and it's really, really stunning. A fantastic album in how long? 15 years? Something like that?
Yeah, well, you know, we've it's been a long time for, you know, obvious reasons, and, you know, we've been been doing shows for a couple of years, and, you know, during that time we were doing those shows, we were, we'd come up with ideas and stuff, and it's really cool that we were able to come together with something that I think that's fitting of the legacy that we left before, and a good starting point again, you know, to begin again. So
absolutely. From what I understand, the band came back together about the year 2005, and it was for a tsunami relief concert, and Sean, your drummer, called you up and kind of got the ball rolling. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, that was something that, you know, I mean, that's something that affected a lot of people, and we were really inspired by the outpouring of people that wanted that were helping, you know, and the kind of a mobilization worldwide of people that wanted to help, you know, and we wanted to be a part of that. So, you know, Sean put together that show, and he called Mike and I first, and we, of course, we were all about it. You know, it's just that's where it started. I mean, we didn't really have a plan to get the band back together. It's just we did that show, and that turned into some rehearsals and just hanging out more, and then a few shows happened, you know, over a period of a year, and that turned into some tours, and now we're where we are today. You know, it's kind of cool.
Still, though, if you can put into words what it was like to do that first show, I mean, did it feel like this weight of expectation, or did you kind of just go into it like, okay, we're just going to play a gig?
It wasn't intended to be an Alice in Chains reunion. It just happens to be that the three of us are in Alice in Chains, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we were just part of a show of a group of great musicians all playing our music and putting on a show to raise money to donate to the relief effort, you know? So it was really fun. You know, it was really great to be able to call so many of our friends and put them together in such a short period of time, and to be a part of that, you know.
Now, you had already been working with William Duvall at that point, correct?
Yeah, I've known William since about 2000.
Because he was in your solo band.
Yeah, I met him in L.A. in about 2000, and he and his band, you know, basically came aboard, you know, and went out on the road with me for a while. We've been friends for a while, and we had the opportunity to play together before, so, you know, I invited William down to rehearsal once we started kind of messing around a little bit, and we had a really good time together, and everything we've done up to that point has been pretty good.
Was there any kind of oh my god period where you went from playing with him to we're going to reform the band and you're going to be in it?
No, there's no oh my god moments. life has very few of those, actually. You know, you just kind of do what feels right, and you build. You head in a direction. You know, maybe you don't even know you're heading in. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
A lot of little things kind of get put together, and then after a while, you kind of realize that you've kind of moved forward, you know, a little bit, whether you intended to or not. And then, of course, you know, you have to ask yourself if that's some place you want to go. And for all of us, obviously, the answer to that question was yes, because we continue to grow as a band and to move forward from, you know, from a very, very difficult thing. But you know, that's the cool thing about life. You know, you're still as long as you're still walking around, there's plenty of opportunities to choose a new path, you know, or choose an old one for that matter. You know?
Now, you and William have this uncanny ability to sound very much like the classic Alice in Chains vocal harmonies that you and Lane Staley had. Was this something that was obvious to you pretty much right off the bat when you heard him? Like, oh my god, we kind of sound the same? Isn't that weird?
Well, the style is the same, and that goes to how I write, you know, and how it goes to how the band sounds. The three of us have been in, you know, Sean and I have been in the start of this band, so we've been in this band for 23 years. You know, I think we ought to know how to sound like ourselves. We don't have to really try to do that. It's just a style that we developed over a period of time, and Lane was, of course, a big part of that. You know, that's obviously the challenge. We're not going to just start sounding like somebody else, you know, so, you know, William's obviously a different individual than Lane, and, you know, so having a talented guy like William just that's willing to take the kind of comparisons that you or anybody else will throw at him, like that last question, and he's willing to kind of just be himself, and that's really the only way it would work, you know. William doesn't really sound like Lane to me. He sounds like William. You know, I know what Lane sounds like.
Yeah.
And I know what William sounds like. And the two of us, you know, the writing style and the sound of the band and the players are the reason why it sounds the way that it sounds. And although we lost a big part of our band, there's a big part of the band that's still around. You know what I mean? So you would think that we would know if we chose to go that way, it would have to honor that, and also would have to have a little room to kind of grow and become something new as well. So I think we've been able to do both of those things.
Now, you pretty much are the co-vocalist in the band. You sing a lot of songs.
I always have.
Yes, and from what I understand, Lane always kind of encouraged that. He pushed you to sing. So very much in a Beatles kind of way. I mean, you guys always kind of struck me as like a Lennon and McCartney. There was no one lead singer per se.
Yeah, well, that's a really great thing to use those two guys as an example, and of course a band that has inspired so many musicians and continues to, you know, and I always really admired that about them and many other bands who not only had a really great vocalist but maybe two, you know, and the way that they worked together, and it always was always amazed by the depth of bands that can do that, you know, and the cool thing is that, you know, you may have two guys that can kind of individuals, you kind of the combination of the two kind of make one, you know. And
yeah.
I always really like that about our band too. And obviously, if we were going to continue, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of interwoven in the blueprint. That's just the way it is. So you know, that was something we're going to have to address. You know, we would have to find somebody that could operate within the system that way, and yet bring whatever they bring to the table. And that person ended up being William, and that was really without looking around or having auditions or, you know, having contests or whatever.
I imagine you had so many people.
Really, really, really talented friend of ours, and it just kind of luckily fell together. You know, that's kind of how the band started originally, you know, in a similar fashion. You know, just some guys that liked hanging out with each other and started playing and started making noise, and we've been able to have gone through that process twice in the same band. You know.
Before we get more into the new record, I want to ask you, what is your fondest memory of Lane?
I don't really have a fondest memory. I think there's so many of them. You know, I spent a good portion of my life with him, and you know, he was our best friend and our brother and collaborator and you know, I mean, there's just too many to pull one out as a best of. And the whole thing was good. You know, even the tough stuff. Life's not always good. You know, life's not always good. But even some of the parts that aren't so good are important parts of a life, you know what I mean? So just feel very, very lucky to have known him and to have known him as well as I did, you know.
The lyrics on this new record are deeply personal. Do you carry a journal around with you? Do you keep a diary? Because, you know, I just can't imagine you sitting in the studio and coming up with these lyrics just on the spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Alice has always been a band that's kind of spoken from very personal experiences, and I think that in general you can probably say that about any musician. You know what I mean? That's really what works best, is your personal perspective, and not only trying to create something that means something to you, but translates to somebody else. You know, and that's not necessarily so tough, because we're not very different as human beings. You know, we all go through pretty similar events in life, and although we may take different paths and get to certain things at different times, you know, it's a common experience. So trying to wind that all together, and you know, first off, you have to write something that's important to you and that you dig, and then it's, of course, always satisfying when other people connect with it too and kind of make it their own, you know. And I've never been a whole real big as a real big journaler, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I go through pretty intense writing phases when I do, and that's pretty much all I do, you know, while that's going on. And we started recording, you know, I mean, we finished the record last March and started the record like the September before that, so. And the writing period for that was probably about another 5 or 6 months before that. So, you know, it was a good solid 4 or 5 months of writing, you know, and pretty much dedicate yourself to that. You know, I kind of do that sort of a thing in those writing phases, you know.
Let me ask you about your guitar playing, and because your soloing is so fluid on this record. Do you practice? Do you have a routine? Or do you just kind of play to see what will happen?
I think pretty much, you know, you just kind of make it up as you go along. I have learned a few things here and there, and have sought some things out early on, but most of it's just kind of by playing and trial and error and trying things out. You know, fortunately, you know, we've been able to create, you know, a signature sound between all of us that people recognize. It's kind of become our own. It's our unique voice. You know, it's our musical fingerprint, if you will, and, you know, that comes from all the individuals. Playing guitar for me has always just been kind of just doing it, you know.
Right.
I don't really read music. I don't write music. I mean, as far as like writing stuff out on notes and shit like that, it's just by ear and trying things out.
Right. So you're not one of those guys like, okay, I will practice 2 hours a day on Mixolydian scales and all that kind of thing.
I never have been, and I kind of always wish a little bit that I knew a little bit more about what I do, but. And I keep saying, I think once in a while that maybe, okay, I'm there, and, you know, I need to learn some new shit, you know, and, you know, then that thought goes away, and we're already doing something anyway. So I think the key is just to, I play a lot. I get to play with the guys I got a lot, and, you know, of course you warm up every day before the shows and stuff, and at home, you know, you get the bug, you're kind of bored, or you hear a riff, and you throw it down. So, you know, playing is always a part of life. I don't really have a regimen, I guess, you know. I don't have like I got to do 2 hours of scales today, and then I'm going to track some shit later on, you know, after dinner. I don't really have a schedule.
Yeah.
That's also another kind of appealing thing about doing what I do for a living. There isn't a whole lot of structure to it. That's kind of appealing to me, you know.
But do you dockpile riffs?
Of course.
Because there's one in particular, the first one, All Secrets Known, which is just such a darn cool riff, very Black Sabbath-like. Did you come up with that and immediately know that's a song?
You know, sometimes you'll get a winner, you know, where you'll get an idea and you'll complete it to the end. But more often than not, for me, it is about stockpiling ideas, you know.
Okay.
It's about working on a part, a riff with a vocal idea. And, you know, taking it as far as you can at the moment, and maybe, you know, maybe screwing around with it for a couple of days, and if nothing else happens, then you just kind of put it down. So it's always there, you know what I mean? And you can go back to it and put something else to it. And, you know, I think that's definitely a big part of how I write songs is, at least when I think something is worth remembering, I'll put it down. And, you know, sometimes things aren't. Like, you know, you'll listen back to something like, oh, that was terrible. What was I thinking that day? You know, and then more often than not, you'll go through these things and you'll forget stuff. I'm like, wow, that's cool. Wow, that's really cool, too. And then, you know, after kind of putting ideas in the bank, so to speak, you know, you can kind of go back to that account and kind of draw them out, you know, at a later time, or maybe when you have maybe at a later time you have a better idea about how to complete it, you know, or you've come up with something new that fits with it, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. So are you still pinching yourself that Elton John, Sir Elton John, has played on your record?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's one of those really cool things that, you know, that you never really expect to happen, to have somebody that, you know, that we all admire so much, and also, you know, was such a early part of our inspiration to music before we even really were players, you know. I mean, everybody, you know, I think Elton was like Lane's first concert, you know, and it was the first record I ever got was an Elton John record, and Sean Same and William and Mike. I mean, he affected us all that way, and is you know, big part of. He was an artist that really struck us at a young age, you know, among a lot of other guys. And so he's there. So to have a guy that means that much to you and that you admire, and you think about a part, you know, that would be, you know, something that you might want to have him play on, and to have him do it is it's pretty mind-blowing, you know, and one of those really cool things, you know, that you really can't plan for, and also you never know unless you ask, you know. So, you know, we were kind of like, once when the idea came up to give him a call about that song, it was, we kind of all had a laugh about it, because, you know, we're like, yeah, I'm sure he's got better things to do than come play piano on a track of ours, you know. But you know, and then somebody piped up and said, well, you know, you never know unless you ask. And I'm like, that's absolutely right. So I sent him a email and explained the significance of that song, and that it was going to be the title track, and then it was for Lane, and all of that, and that all appealed to him, and he loved the song, and said he wanted to play on it. So
now, when you're in the studio with Elton John, and he's playing piano on one of your songs, and he plays on the title track, Black Gives Way to Blue, so he's in there and he's playing, do you actually give direction to Elton John, or is
sure.
it just, you do?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it doesn't, you know, you might not necessarily feel comfortable to do so. It's like, what are you gonna tell that dude, you know? But he was really cool, you know. He was like, you know, what do you want? I was gonna do a pass that's a little more kind of notey, and then I'll do one that's a little more chord oriented, and you know, it's a song that we know intimately because we wrote it, you know what I mean, and we're familiar with it, and even though he's heard it before, you know, playing the song is new to him, you know what I mean. So of course he would ask for a little direction here or there, and as a fan, you know, it's hard to separate, you know, the two, you know, you're both musicians, and so there's that, and being able to direct somebody in that setting is totally cool, you know, it's pretty normal and something you're used to, but you know, when it's somebody of such importance to you, it's a little nerve-wracking to go like here, try it like this, or try it like that. But he was way cool about it, and you know, he brought himself to the thing that I was most impressed, I guess, with is how excited he is just about music still, you know, not just his own, you know. He's just a fan, and you realize you're just the same, you know, you're just a fan of music, and so it's really cool to see that it's that important to him, you know, and it just gives you more inspiration to continue your own journey, and hope that you still feel him the way that he feels about it, you know, at this point of his career, you know.
Well, it's a beautiful track, and what's
it is,
and what's amazing is, you know, it sounds like Alice in Chains, but yet at the same time you listen to it, and the piano sounds like Elton John. I mean, he just...
Sure. Well, I mean, that's a really impressive thing, that he obviously has a sound and a style that he's developed, you know, and that he's known for. And not only did he lend himself, you know, lend his voice and made the song, you know, jump up a level, you know, by his input, he didn't take it over either.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
he became part of the band for that song, you know, and that's also very impressive that he would do that, you know.
Well, you made a wonderful record. It's
Thank you.
It's really fantastic. This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, and I've been speaking with Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains. Jerry, thank you very much for spending this time with me.
No problem, man.
You take care.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye.